You're listening to Under the Hood.
Get the ESPN Chicago app for podcasts and the live stream from anywhere. Download in the App Store today.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. With Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you right here on ESPN 1000. Follow us on Instagram at IGJHood, also at CBlack. We'll hear from Ray Flores, who covers combat sports. He's there in Las Vegas live for Wilder Fury 2 Electric Boogaloo. It's going to be a terrific fight. We'll talk to Ray coming up in our next segment.
He used to work here at ESPN 1000, and I lived with him for a year. So maybe we'll sneak in a question about the time that Ray and I lived together. At the end of the conversation, we're going to talk baseball here, Jonathan, because the Astros cheating scandal is a story that just does not go away. And I don't think it will go away until we get to opening day, because everyone's going to be invested to see how teams react to the Astros when they finally take the field for the first time in a real major league game.
Well, let me tell you, I believe that this is really good for baseball, and here's why. It shows you that the only time that baseball really gets a claim is when there's controversy or questions around the Hall of Fame. That's really sad for baseball that it can't be about how great Mike Trout is, what the next big thing is. In the NBA, we're talking about Zion Williamson. In the NFL, we're talking about the young quarterbacks. But in Major League Baseball, the I Love Lucy of sports, it's always about, hey, how come this guy's not in the Hall of Fame? Hey, how come this guy doesn't get coverage? It's always negative. And this Astros cheating scandal is something that permeated throughout the Super Bowl, before the Super Bowl, and all the way to now on February 21st. I think it's actually good for baseball because they need storylines. You would think the storyline would be, okay, let's see what happens this year versus last year as far as who wins the World Series. Can the Dodgers get over the hump? What's happening with the Cubs? All those kind of things. But the Astros in this cheating scandal, people will be watching in April and early May to see who's going to get plunked. I think that there is going to be a fascination with that early on in the season.
See, and that's a fair way to look at it. I view it as the other side of the coin, because I think you could always go to the saying that any PR is good PR. Bad PR, any PR is good PR, right? And that's something that we are told all of the time. But I feel like some of the examples you gave, the steroid era, the cheating scandal now, I don't know if that necessarily leads to people enjoying and consuming baseball. And when we talk about this topic, it really comes down to the young viewers, right? Because that's what baseball's been about the last couple of years. How do we get young people to watch the sport of baseball? There's been talk about changing the game, which I'm against. I don't think it's you need to change the game itself, the structure of it. 9 innings, 3 outs per side during the inning. That's not the problem. The problem with baseball is there's no movement on the field anymore. It's a bunch of standing around. The three outcomes, the walk, the home run, or the strikeout, that's the problem with baseball, because you don't see athletes on the field doing things that are athletic anymore in a baseball game. Sure, a home run is nice, and they get to trot around the bases, but you don't get to see the double play balls. You don't get to see the relay throws. You don't get to see the guys running from first to third, the exciting plays in baseball that we all fell in love with, right? And I think what this is really going to come down to is there are a section of the younger fans who are on the fence with baseball. And I think this any PR is good PR thing will actually work in the opposite direction, because not only are you being witnessing a sport that is becoming slower and less interesting on the field, but as a young person, now you're going to look at it and say, yeah, but teams are cheating. So, like, if they were cheating, I don't believe that they were the only ones. So who else is cheating? And if everyone's cheating and the sport's not even fun to watch, if I'm a young person, because nothing's happening on the field, why am I going to give it a shot now just because there was a scandal and maybe a couple of guys will get thrown at? You know, when Rob Manfred comes out and says that the players who throw at Astros will be punished, but yet the Astros who cheated to win a World Series are not punished, what does that tell you?
Well, it tells you that Rob Manfred is never good at his job. It also tells me, by the way, that you've gotten really old. The idea that you're talking about how there's not enough movement on the baseball diamond, no. Boy, there's a guy who's been working with Fred a lot. You're concerned now. You're concerned now about the movement on the field. Let me tell you, it's not true.
Wait,
hold on a second. But this is the same guy that I'm sitting next to in the last hour telling me about, you know, the NBA needs to have some bells and whistles here with the midseason tournament to get people excited. Hey, you know what? In the NFL, you need that extra a few playoffs just to get people more invested in the playoffs. No, baseball's fine the way it is. See, that's that first to third, because the ball's juiced, now that's out of the way. That's the reason why you're not getting first to third. The stolen base, you get these seam heads out here, these millennials that are now writing for Major League Baseball.
Right.
They'll tell you that all these stats don't matter. You get Carm on here, my guy Carm on here, telling me, oh, the RBI, is that what it used to be? I'll tell you. I mean, no, it's still there. No, it still matters.
What's he hitting, Jonathan?
What's he hitting? Tell me, what's he hitting? I mean, all that stuff, but that's great. That stuff is, but see, to me, the pageantry of baseball is you know, game to game, how long the season is, how good your team is, what happens on the base paths, all these different things, the defense, all these things. You're looking for basketball on a baseball diamond, you start getting that.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this. Is baseball smart enough to use this opportunity of being in the news to market their sport? Well, and I get that you don't want to market that a team cheated, but if you are interested in watching whether or not they get plunked in that first at bat when they come up to play their first game on the road when the season starts, will that game be on national TV? Will Major League Baseball do it right where they kind of promote the Astros as the bad guy throughout the season, giving the national audience, us in Chicago, many of opportunities to watch the Astros outside of when they play the White Sox or the Cubs?
Well, here's the thing, as you're listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood and Chris Black on ESPN 1000, one thing we do know for sure, those Astros games.
You won't be booing about that in a year.
We have against the Marquee Network.
You won't be booing about that in a year.
It won't be on the Marquee Network, at least not anytime soon, the Astros. But one thing for sure is that with this negativity, keep in mind that sports always needs a black hat. Sports always is in need of a black hat. Growing up, the Raiders were that negative team just because they were wearing black and silver. Just because they wanted to. They leaned into it. The Kenny Williams White Sox of the early 90s that you grew up with, that's a team that wanted to be hated. And actually, if you take a look at what's going on with the White Sox now with their marketing campaign, it's a dude with a Southside dude with a raspy voice stepping into us saying, hey, we know you don't like us. We know that you don't think we're very good, but we're ready for the season. Their marketing campaign, it leans into the negative headlines. So same thing with baseball. Baseball's not smart enough to realize, like, if the Astros are going to be the bad guys, that's the must watch. If the commissioner of baseball, if Rob Manfred says that it's just a piece of, what did he say? Just a piece of junk?
Piece of metal.
If it's a piece of metal,
yeah,
that's the negative that should be the marketing of Major League Baseball. But they don't do that.
Are you suggesting that Rob Manfred goes Vince McMahon on it and he becomes a heel as well since he's trashing the trophy?
I think he already
is. Is that what he should do? He should lean into that. And, you know, I agree with you, because when there's edge, it gives you interest.
Yes.
I wonder if it's better for baseball fans if the Astros are bad or really good. I would initially answer, I think the best thing that baseball could hope for is if the Astros go out there this season and win like 103 games.
Yes.
And just shove it right back at everyone that's saying that they can't be any good because they cheated.
By the way,
wouldn't that be something?
Again, a positive, right? If you hate the Astros so much, you know how this works, right? It's one thing to be on social media, but there will be people that get off their ass and they will go to the ballpark just to boo them.
Yeah.
All the signs, all that negativity, it's just like the Bonds scandal or the steroid scandal. They were, or even Ryan Braun is a great example. People went to the ballpark, especially at Wrigley Field, to hold up signs, holding up a syringe saying that you cheated, and I want to make sure that it's on TV so you could see it. Because some people are so mad that they will actually do that. The Astros can be that kind of draw for Major League Baseball, because again, who is the bad guy in Major League Baseball? I'm looking at the teams right now. Everybody's the same, boring, uninteresting. But here's where I'm going to disagree with you, because here's what the players are saying. You know, baseball and hockey are very similar. They don't say a lot. If someone else has personality, it's like, oh, that guy's kind of wacky. Oh, look out now. Look at this guy now. What's he saying? Now, hang on. That went viral. Hang on a second.
You mean Tim Anderson last year?
Oh, Tim Anderson didn't like baseball.
Oh, what's going on with Tim Anderson? What's up with this guy?
I mean, he plays for the Sacks. He doesn't like baseball. What's with this guy?
Yeah, good.
They didn't call him guy. But the thing is that they...
Who's they?
Well, you know, I think we know who they are. They didn't like the idea. This guy who wins the batting title didn't like baseball. I don't understand that. But the point is, so Chris, is that you got to have these guys with a black hat. And everyone's the same until... Dodgers start talking here. Cubs. You know, Cubs have an edge, by the way. People don't.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they got a little bit of edge. A little red ass. They do. They're going to have you more with David Ross, by the way, because he's got an edge as well. Nonetheless, you got to have some of that in baseball. And so now all of a sudden, baseball has a little bit of a personality, something that you didn't have before because of this Astros scandal. That will bring interest to the Astros.
Well, the Major League Baseball needs to lean into that then. They need to market the Astros as must-see TV because what's going to happen next? You know, it makes me think about the last major black hat in sports was the LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Miami Heat. That first year they got together, they were booed in every arena they went in. And they eventually lost in the finals to the Dallas Mavericks. But, you know, that was also the year, remember, that LeBron got hit in the face, either broke his nose or something, and he had to wear that mask.
Yep.
And he went with the black mask, and it was like, all right, LeBron's like all in on this. And it was must-see television. So Major League Baseball has to use this as an opportunity to market the Houston Astros. Because you're right, Jonathan, if you look at some of the teams in Major League Baseball, the St. Louis Cardinals, the Milwaukee Brewers, the Minnesota Twins, milquetoast. Yep. I mean, how bland is that?
Yep.
But the Astros, there's a little spice there.
Yep. And also on top of that, by the way, the story came across a few hours ago that this has gotten so deep. We talk about fans, right? When a fan and fandom crosses a line. So the story about one of the Astros players, Josh Reddick, apparently there's been some questions to his family. His kids have been targeted in threats about the Astros cheating and the sign-stealing scandal.
I'm going to be honest with you. I did not think this would be that big of a story.
Oh, people love their baseball, though, right?
I thought by now that we would have three or four other teams where we found out that, yeah, kind of like half the league's doing what the Astros are doing, and that it would kind of turn into one of those, well, if everyone's kind of doing it, we just kind of roll into the season, and that's that. But since players each and every day are coming out and talking trash about the Astros, it seems like the odds of other teams doing it seems to dwindle each day that passes.
Some thoughts from David Ross on Golic and Wingo this morning regarding the Astros.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Yu Darvish made a great point here, and it's I go back to if we're in the integrity of the trophy and how much that means, it's like an Olympic medal. If you're caught cheating, your medal is stripped. So I think that would have sent a loud message. I don't know that you could give it to another person, but taking it away may have been the power move that may have made everybody feel a lot better. That's difficult. I understand. Rob's got a decision to make and trying to navigate through all those things. But in my mind, when I look at it like that, That's what we're all fighting for. That's why we're working here in spring training. That's why we're doing our work, putting in that extra time, those extra drills, all so we can be the group that holds that trophy at the end of the year. And the fact they didn't do it legitimately in the right way, you know, they don't deserve that, in my opinion.
Even David Ross, the manager of the Cubs, said they should be stripped. Just understand one thing, Chris. Maybe you'll see it in your lifetime, maybe not mine, but maybe you'll see it in your lifetime.
You're not that much older than me. What do you mean your lifetime? Maybe mine, not yours. We're going to be together for a while.
I am 85 in radio years.
No, you're not.
Oh, yeah. I'm on the back nine.
You're a young gun.
I'm a young gun. I don't think so. Me and Davis are on the back nine. This is it here. We're at Jackson Park on hole 12.
Well, I'll play Jackson Park with you guys.
Yeah, I'll still be on hole 12. So you probably surpass me, but nonetheless.
My time. Yeah, so maybe you'll see it in yours. Yeah. We're not that different today.
Well, listen, maybe you'll see this in your time, pal. See, when I say that, it brings brevity to the show.
No, I know it does.
That brings like a prematurely gray Anderson Cooper kind of feel. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I understand that we're pretty much similar in age, but I like that as a starting point of the conversation, right?
I think it's a very nice starting point, and I just had to ruin the moment. I'm sorry.
Exactly. You just don't understand radio. The idea that I say, well, maybe in your time, that brings experience to the – don't you understand that? That brings – a radio experience.
Because you've seen some things.
That's right. Now, okay, I'll use that.
All right.
Chris is someone who's seen some things. I'll tell you this. I will tell you that what we are looking for is a commissioner that's fair, someone that's not always on the side of the owners. And so when we take a look at what we've seen here with baseball, football, even hockey, other sports, the commissioners are always leaning toward the owners, and that's why you don't see the commissioner of baseball saying, you know what, we should strip him. We should consider it. He's on the side of the Astros players. That's why nothing happened to the players, and it happened to management of the Astros.
Yes. And when you're long gone, and I'm still alone here trying to do the show, and you're long, long past your prime and gone.
Back nine.
Out of here. You're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Long time. Then we will try and see if a commissioner will finally get it in Major League Baseball.
That's all I'm saying. Just someone down the middle. It may not happen in my generation, but yours, right. It might happen. You see, it shows a veteran presence. Don't you see? People are hanging on that until you just threw cold water on it. You go, hey, you're really not that old. I'm like, yeah, I know. But still, it sounds like a man of experience, Cronkite-like, rather.
We have breaking news to the news desk.
Don't you understand? Like in this, like, you know, I bring like an Anderson Cooper type, you know, prematurely gray, you know.
Hey, as long as I can be your Andy Cohen to your Anderson Cooper, I'm all for it. Right?
Oh, that looker is terrible. That's the best, isn't it?
He can't take one shot on New Year's Eve, really?
I know.
It's incredible.
Like, it's the same look every year. I'm like, dude.
Meanwhile, Cohen is like taking all of the shots and having no issues, not even stuttering on the air. That's my guy.
Now, you know what, Andy? You know what I say about Andy Cohen? There's a man who's seen some things.
Oh, yeah, yes.
Clearly. Let's go to Vegas. Well, who's going to win the fight, Wilder or Fury? Find out next.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. It's Under the Hood. Follow us on the gram at IGJ Hood and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app. I'm teamed with Chris Bleck tonight on this Friday. I'd like to remind you tomorrow you can find Chris and I on ESPN 3 television as we broadcast UIC Flames basketball.
Yeah, against IUPUI. It should be a good matchup for the Flames as they head towards the Horizon League tournament, trying to play for home court advantage to host the game. If you're unfamiliar with the way the Horizon League does the tournament, they have home games for the first round of the Horizon League tournament as teams try and get to the march to Indianapolis, where all the teams converge for the final four of the Horizon League. It's really cool because you get campus sites to start the tournament, and then you kind of get the bigger tournament feel when you get to Indianapolis. So the Flames looking to win. They've been hot as of late, and they're looking to continue that and to keep home court advantage in the Horizon League.
So we'll be on at 3 o'clock, around 3:12 tomorrow, as UIC takes an IUPUI. If you're in the area, come on by Credit Union 1 Arena or watch us on ESPN 3. As we talk to you now about the big fight is going to be on ESPN Plus, Wilder against Fury from Las Vegas. I tell you what, this is red hot, especially on the mics with Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury.
He better not ever say he got me to big time boxing. Evan is getting, I'm a slapper because.
Welcome anybody, to big time boxing. I'm waiting for the slap.
Everybody to big time boxing is me.
Opening statement.
Don't ever forget when I found you were strung out on coke. When I found you was like a big house contemplating about killing yourself. So don't you ever forget who brought you to big time box. I drugged you back. I brought you back. I provided food and put food on your table for your family to eat. And I'm doing it for the second time. So don't you ever forget that.
You know, Deontay Wilder spouting a lot of rubbish. He gave me an opportunity, did he? I give him his biggest paydays of his whole life, got him a big contract with Showtime, brought him to the biggest stage in the world, being Las Vegas. And here he is. This is how he thanks me. He's got a whole lot of appreciation for someone who's fed him, looked after him, and put millions in his account. Very nice person, D. You know, you owe me everything. I brung you to this level. Welcome to big time boxing.
Ooh, Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder on pay-per-view on ESPN+. Ray Flores is in Las Vegas. He'll be calling the international version of that, doing play-by-play. He's with us here on ESPN 1000. Hello, Ray.
Ray.
Jonathan, Chris, good evening to you. Got some news, guys. For you, gentlemen, as I found this out, over the past couple of hours, but not only calling the international, but I will be ringing out to you tomorrow night on ESPN, 7 o'clock Central Time, FS1 at 6:30, a simulcast on ESPN and FS1. Very honored and privileged to be ring announcing inside the ring at the MGM Grand. And Hoodie, I'm going to make that bell sound like the MSG bell from back in the 1980s.
That's right.
You know, that's what I'm going to make it happen.
So here's what we got to want people to know. We want you to watch Ray do the ring announcing for the prelims tomorrow, right? But notice, if he signals the bell ringer, that is a shout out to Under the Hood,
ding,
right?
Ding.
Without a doubt. I mean, I'm going to make sure that it is boom three times. We got to get that classic, a couple of those bell rings in there, Jonathan, no doubt.
Ray, good evening to you, sir. Are you going to be suited and booted tomorrow night?
Man, you better believe it, Chris. I got a jacket. I got the bow tie. I am ready to strut and stroll and roll here in Las Vegas in one of the greatest places to watch a prize fight, no doubt.
All right. So, Ray, you know that Jonathan and I love boxing just as you do as well. And I think what's unique about this fight, because we don't usually get fights that are hyped this way, because Fox and ESPN have teamed up to both promote this fight. What do you think that all of this hype coming into it will lead to tomorrow night in the ring?
I think it's going to lead for something very special, Chris, because you have two guys who are in the primes of their careers, who are a part of the, you know, when you're the heavyweight champion of the world in boxing, that's like ridiculous. Like, you are the baddest man walking God's green earth when you have that distinction. I'll be honest with you, the promotion between ESPN and Fox and the various entities, it's been flawless. Everyone's getting along, and I think the fans are going to get something very special tomorrow night.
Ray Flores live from Las Vegas for the big fight. He's going to take place tomorrow with Wilder and Fury. He joins Jonathan Hood and Chris Black on Under the Hood on ESPN 1000. Ray, do you think that Fury is coming a little heavy? The weigh-in, what do you have at official, 273 for Fury?
Yeah, he was 273, but Jonathan, he had his clothes on, and, you know, Tyson Fury likes to play these mind games. I think he's probably about 268, 269, and the thing is it might be to be able to absorb those big punches from Deontay Wilder. I spoke with Deontay Wilder's trainer, J.D., today, and they had a little bit of a media, you know, we had a Q&A that I had with him in the media center, and he told me, he's like, man, I hold the mitts for Deontay, and I've gotten a busted rib, my shoulder out of place. He goes, I'll probably be, you know, not being able to go to my mailbox in the next 10 years because that's how hard this man hits.
Ray, when you look at Deontay Wilder and you say how hard he hits, that right hand, one of the most explosive in boxing history, take us through the years. Is there someone that you kind of come to mind when you look at someone throwing a right hand the way Wilder does? Is there anyone that pops out, or is that the best you've ever seen?
Honestly, Chris, it is the best I've ever seen, because it's like a rocket launcher, man, and he unloads it so fast. It's like, I think Major League Baseball pitchers should learn how to, you know, throw a pitch in with the form, like how Deontay Wilder throws a punch, because he's got a snap, and man, that punch that he has, it packs a wallop on you, man. I've never seen anything like this. I'm going to make a bold statement right now. I think Deontay Wilder, from what I've seen out of him, he is the most lethal puncher that we've ever seen in boxing history, aside from maybe smoking Joe Frazier.
That's pretty strong. So that means bigger than Foreman and Tyson.
I would think so. I think Tyson doesn't have – Deontay Wilder has the highest knockout percentage in heavyweight history at over 95%. So I think, you know, Tyson, it took you, you know, he would clip you, but it was a couple punches. Very rarely was it that one big shot, quote unquote, and he would, you know, decapitate you. When Wilder hits you with that right hand, it's nighty night. I told them at the MGM Grand legitimately this, and I go, get a blanket, get a pillow, because someone's going to sleep tomorrow night. And they're going to have to put it on them inside the ring tomorrow night.
Who do you like, Ray?
I've been on this back and forth, Deontay Wilder, midway through the ninth round in a vicious knockout that catapults Deontay Wilder into a stratosphere of sort of being like those old great heavyweight champions that America came to love in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s. I'm not going to say he's anywhere near Ali just yet, but man, oh man, is he carving his own history and furthering his legacy. Tomorrow night, is a legacy fight for both men. It's significant, and we are going to be treated to a heck of a fight.
If Fury wins, there will be a third, correct?
That I've been told, and this is off the record,
yep.
that
perfect.
It looks like a two-fight agreement, but assuming everybody's healthy, and it could go a variety of different ways, and the business of boxing is not the easiest, but I do think that if it's a close fight or if it's even a knockout for Deontay Wilder and Fury is healthy, with the exception of, you know, getting his head looked at, I think we will see a third fight because both of these guys enjoy fighting each other in a weird, twisted, alpha male way.
All right. Get some rest, my friend. We'll be watching you ring announce and do the play-by-play tomorrow. It's going to be a busy day in Las Vegas.
Guys, I got to put on the tuxedo jacket around 12 o'clock, and I'm going from 2 o'clock when we start the undercards all the way through the main event past, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock Pacific time. So it'll be a long day, but man, oh, man, I cannot wait. And thank you guys for, you know, having me on, my two great friends, and cannot wait to continue to see what you guys are doing. And good luck to the UIC Flames as well.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Ray.
It is Ray Flores with us here. Again, a busy day for him in Las Vegas.
We didn't get a chance to ask him any stories from the time that Ray and I lived together for a year.
I guess
it's the audience's loss.
No, it's fine. We could do that at 9:05. All right, coming up.
We end at 9.
Oh. Yeah, that's the reason why I guess chose that time.
Yeah.
By the way, I know you're probably wondering, right? Like, why was Ray kind of understated? You know why?
Where's he hiding out right now?
I don't know. Professional.
Okay. All right.
Keep, you know, saving the pipes for tomorrow. That's why he was understated.
Right.
He learned that from Joe Tessitore, his good friend. Joe Tessitore, who gave him Sweet Baby Ray. Sweet Baby Ray. So now that's his nickname now because Tessitore gave it to him, Joe Tess.
I love that.
So yeah. So that's why. See, Ray, he's a student of the game. Because last night when we had him on, we just asked him just the vibe of Vegas. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it was a great time, Jonathan Hood, let me tell you. And now tonight, yeah, let me tell you, you know, it's going to be a good fight. Looking forward to it, you know. It's like interviewing Ric Flair. It's just kind of always down, you know, down here instead of way up here.
Well, I was happy that he had news for us. I didn't realize it was personal news about him. And I thought we were going to get a scoop on the fighters tomorrow night. Instead, it's where you can catch Ray tomorrow night.
Yeah, it's the broadcast. In business, of course, it's about him. Of course,
this is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Follow on Twitter at @TweetJHood.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the brand new ESPN Chicago app with Chris Black, Jonathan Hood with you. So glad that you're with us here on this Friday night. Hope that you have a great weekend. You know, I believe that when we hear Javi Baez talk about Joe Maddon earlier this week, I think that that told me something about Joe Maddon as a manager. And here's what I mean by that. So I heard earlier this week Javi Baez talk about how the team was not ready to go when it first started off this past season, saying they weren't ready to go. And it was a clear shot at Maddon. Maddon, you know, kind of like a nutty professor, just like, I don't know what he's talking about. You know, we had some issues here or there, but I think our team was ready to go. And you know what? I believe Maddon. I believe the team was ready to go. But I believe that when I heard that, Chris, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, here's something that we don't talk enough about in sports talk radio, and that is athletes actually want to be coached. The feeling that, oh, in the NBA, it's a players' league. You don't need coaches. You know, these professionals, they know exactly what they're doing. They don't need to be coached. Deep down, doesn't matter what player we're talking about, each player that we see on our television, each player that we watch in sports want to be coached. You know why? Because even if they came through the AAU circuit, doesn't matter if they were in high school or college, they all had coaching, and they had someone that was an advisor, some without a father in the home or a guardian in the home, and that coach was able to step in and be that influence on that athlete. So the idea that Baez says we weren't ready, well, you know what? Baez is pretty much crying out and saying, you know, I really need something extra from Joe, and Joe didn't provide that for me. That's what I read from that.
You know, your theory will be proven this series, this season, right? Because if David Ross provides the coaching and you see a jump in performance from Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, and the others, who have kind of pointed out, not Chris Bryant specifically, but you've heard things where Joe wasn't holding them accountable. And because a lot of what his coaching was like was that it's optional, right? You're a professional. You should want to improve on your own, and you should want to do the work. And I think what this will prove is you'll be right if they do improve.
Mm-hmm.
But if this team starts out slow and you see them not play to their capabilities that we saw in 2016, which we've now seen for two full seasons, and I know the season after 16, it was blamed on a hangover. And now a hangover has turned into a trend,
right?
And that's who they've been for two full years now. I would say that the theory is wrong because at the end of the day, the player still has to hold himself accountable. You know, there's a reason why.
But the player also needs to be pushed.
They do need to be pushed. But if you're a professional athlete, what else do you have to worry about except for improving yourself on the field and in the performance of the sport that you're participating in? And I get that coaching can get you to that point, and you should be challenged, and you should want to challenge yourself. But I find it hard to believe that Joe Maddon was such a terrible manager that he's the reason to blame for why the Cubs have played the way they have for the last two seasons.
I'm with you. I've said many times that Joe Maddon should still be the manager for the Chicago Cubs. As soon as the Cubs won the World Series in 16, I don't know why he wasn't extended. And the same thing with Theo Epstein. Both of those guys should still be working together in the organization, trying to get another World Series championship. But I'm saying is, and by the way, when I say that Baez needs to be coached, this is not necessarily a shot at Maddon, because Maddon has always been a player's manager. He's always been that guy that says, no matter what, on my phone, I have it on my day timer, we're going to have three meetings a year. No matter if the team is good or bad, we're going to have a meeting. He did this in Tampa. I'm sure he's going to do this with Los Angeles Angels. The same thing. He's always been three times to have a meeting with the team. Start of the season, middle of the season, and toward the end line of September. He's always been that guy. All I'm saying is that even if you're a great player, you still are a little bit paranoid. Even if you are a player that's on the rise, you might have all the bravado and confidence in front of the cameras, but you're still not sure. You know why? Because it's such a long season. You can go 4-for-4 in this sport and then go 0-for-8 the next couple of games, and then you're not sure. Everybody seems like they're confident, but they're not. All I'm saying is that for Javi Baez, and maybe some of the other players off the record have told Jesse this as well, that, man, you know, Joe really let us do whatever he wanted to do. How many times did the Cubs have day games and didn't hit in the cage? No batting practice for a 120 game coming off a night game or several day games? It was very relaxed and very laid back, in which Joe Maddon said, you know what, you're the players, you're the pros, you have to be able to handle this. But at the same time, even when you're great, you do still need a little something every now and then.
And to support your theory, in 2018, Javi Baez hit 34 home runs. He had 111 RBI. His slash line was 290, 326, 554, a WAR of 6.3. Last season, 29 home runs, 85 RBI, slash line of 281, 316, 531, and a WAR of 4.8. Mm. So he had a major step back. So maybe that is the case. Maybe Javi Baez is the type of player that needs to be challenged on a daily basis.
Everybody's not going to be like that, but just maybe some players kind of need that coaching, that managing.
Who else on the team has taken a step back from their performance from 2 years ago? It's Chris Bryant, right?
Yes.
Chris Bryant was one of the best players in baseball in 2016. He wins the MVP. His WAR numbers have dropped dramatically since that point. Same with the slash numbers. So I know that you can point to some of his advanced analytics and say that Chris Bryant is still performing at the same clip that he was performing at when he won an MVP. The problem is the power players in Major League Baseball, with whatever's going on with the baseball itself, those numbers have jumped, and Chris Bryant's didn't. So once again, another player taking a step back in performance when you look at the rest of the league in elite players. So maybe Chris Bryant is also a player that needs to be challenged on a daily basis.
Here's the flip side of that. As you're listening to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000, here's the flip side of that. What if? Two biggest words in entertainment. What if? What if? What if, Chris, that David Ross is exactly the ingredient that the Cubs need? What if they are contending with Milwaukee and St. Louis in the National League Central? See, we see the negative, and the negative has been the last couple of years that this team's been actually in a two-year slump, which is odd, right? Offensively, a two-year slump, where you have players, and I've talked about this core ad nauseum, that this core is good enough to be able to contend, but they haven't played like that. So what if Ross is that guy? Then maybe we can, maybe that also will accentuate my theory that they just need a little something extra, maybe a kick in the ass, because you know how it works in baseball, right? It actually across sports. Nice guy, cerebral guy, ass kicker. Nice guy, cerebral ass kicker. And it just ebb and flows like that. You know what Madden was? Now Ross, just based on everything that we hear, this is not Uncle Rossi. It's a guy that's going to push you.
Yeah, he's going to push you, and he claims, and he said it today on Golic and Wingo, that he's going to hold the players accountable, and that it's not going to be a problem for him that he was friends, really good friends, with many of these players who won in 2016. Why? Because he held them accountable as their teammate, as their friend, therefore as their manager, he will do the same. You're right, Jonathan, it's going to be fascinating to watch this Cubs team, because wouldn't we all agree, if we look at the National League Central, they have the talent to win, right? We thought they had the talent to win last year and the year before. So if Ross can get that little extra out of this group of players, the core that's still there that won a championship, what if, you're right, what if they actually perform to their potential that we saw two seasons ago?
Actually, it's been really good. As a teammate, I told these guys the truth, and I shot them straight. And the relationships I have with that group are one, historic, and like lifelong brothers. And so the fact that I shot them straight and I told them the truth when I was a teammate, that just that hasn't changed. I'm the same person. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to give you fluff. I'm going to tell you what I believe is you need to hear. And that's on your decision to do that. I'm the same guy, just different priorities and a different title. So, the relationships have been great. The guys that I know, it's been easier to talk to them because we've had so much history together. I can be real with those guys. And tell them exactly where I stand, and it's actually helped in a lot of ways too when it comes to leadership in that clubhouse and exactly what I want and where I feel like we may have fallen short in the last couple of years, and watching this group from the outside and being, you know, kind of a special assistant. So the relationships haven't changed, and I think that's a powerful thing that I have that most new managers don't have.
Did you catch that in the middle there where he said that he tells them what like it is and it's on them to do with it what they want?
Yeah.
Like, is there any more of a hard ass stance than that? Like to know the guy who says, yeah, I tell it like it is. It's on you to figure out what to do with it.
Yeah.
Like that is a different style than what they've dealt with recently at Wrigley Field.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
Hi, everybody.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Under the Hood on ESPN 1000.
Peace up, A-Town. Yeah.
Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood right here on ESPN 1000 and the brand-new ESPN Chicago app. Chris Black with me. And so you had some thoughts about the Milwaukee Bucks you wanted to get to because they are the best team in the East. And even though I think Toronto can push them, by the way, hopefully that is the playoff matchup at some point, Toronto will push Milwaukee. They may not beat Milwaukee, but they will push them. I can see that going seven games just based on their defensive prowess.
So watching the Bucks last night, they beat the Pistons 126-106, and the game was over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And they were up by 20 at the start of the second quarter. Like, this was not even a contest. And I think the thing to marvel at with the Milwaukee Bucks is it's not just Giannis. Chris Middleton, really good. Eric Bledsoe, really good. All the pieces coming off the bench, really good. And the way they kind of fit together and evolve and rotate around Giannis, which is the star of the team, the sun of the solar system of the Milwaukee Bucks, I think it's really interesting. And it's surprising to me, a team that's so good, 47-8 at this point in the season, I feel like if it's any other team, any other place, any other star, you would probably see more hype around a team. But because it's Milwaukee, because it's a star who hasn't necessarily established himself as the best player on the planet, even though he has an MVP, and it seems like he is the best player on the planet, I think most people would say it's LeBron James. maybe a few Kawhi Leonards, maybe a Kevin Durant. But the majority of people probably don't agree that Giannis Antetokounmpo is the best player in the NBA, even though he is going for a second MVP.
People still holding on to LeBron, and I get it because they're waiting for LeBron to pass the torch.
And the way the season's kind of gone, where the Warriors disappeared, LeBron's on the West Coast, the team that's the best on the East isn't necessarily that flashy destination. It's not Boston. It's not Philly. It's not New York. For some reason, it seems like there isn't enough attention around the Milwaukee Bucks. And not only do they blow out the Pistons, last night was the 10th 20-point road win this season for the Milwaukee Bucks. The only team in NBA history to have more than 10 wins by 20 points or more on the road in a season were the 1971 Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
With Lou Alcindor, that team that won the championship, the last championship in Milwaukee for an NBA team. So, like, the Bucks, not only as a team, are doing something that is on a different level, but I think it's something that we should all start to pay attention to, because this is shaping up to be one of the best seasons we've ever seen from an NBA team. And Giannis trying to go for his second MVP back-to-back, we're seeing something special here, and I'm not sold that, like, people are really paying attention to this.
Do you remember you and I driving up to Green Bay to do a UIC Flames game?
It was 2 years ago, right? And it was right before Christmas.
Okay, so we're driving up, and we're listening to ESPN Milwaukee.
Yep.
And it's the afternoon show, and the topic was, so when is Giannis Antetokounmpo leaving? The conversation was about, like, when Giannis leaves, what happens to the Bucks, right? Not if, when he leaves. The fear already of, oh, well, you know, Giannis is going to leave because Jabbar left us or Alcindor left us, so he's going to leave. So that fear is already in. While Antetokounmpo is young and the team is good, if you're a Bucks fan or just a fan of the Eastern Conference teams, you want him to be able to knock down that championship, because if they don't, oh, gosh. Right? All the star power, all these wins, that would be a waste.
It would be. And if you think about that, 2 years ago, that means Giannis had 4 years left on his contract.
Yeah.
And that's what people in Milwaukee were already worried about. And clearly, he has improved, and the team has improved so much to the point where, you're right, Jonathan, if they don't win a championship this year, you know, the rumors are going to be there. Think about what took place at the end of last season. The moment the Bucks were eliminated in the playoffs, Malika Andrews on ESPN.com released a story that if the Bucks didn't do something in the offseason to make Giannis happy, he may start to think about leaving when he becomes a free agent in 2 summers. And that was last year. Imagine what happens if they don't get to the conference finals this season, after the regular season that they're currently having, after the season Giannis is having, where he's improved in almost every single category. One of the great all-time seasons we've ever witnessed. And, you know,
I could counter that, by the way, by telling you that Giannis has never been a part of the AAU culture to want to team up with other great players. But, you know, the NBA has a way to make you break out of that and says, hey, your time is limited. You need to find a championship right away.
Well, and it's fair. And there is the possibility that he may want to do it on his own. And I can respect that. But did you notice something last Sunday night at the United Center in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. When you have the 10 best players in the world going at each other, trying to play to that final tally, the target score in the All-Star game, mm-hmm. Did you notice that Giannis kind of disappeared?
I did notice that,
Kind of the same way in the Eastern Conference Finals when the Bucks got eliminated, he kind of disappeared on offense.
Faded away.
So even though he's having a great regular season and the team is having success, you have to keep it in the back of your mind. Maybe at some point he may want to team up with someone if championships are what he really wants to accomplish in the NBA.
Chris and I will be on ESPN3 tomorrow. That's television, or digital, if you will. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock for UIC against IUPUI. If you're a college basketball fan, or if you're just a supporter of me and or Chris, check in tomorrow at 3 o'clock on ESPN3.
Are you saying we have some fun banter throughout the play-by-play and basketball analysis analysis that we bring to the table?
Well, I do, and then you usually just stare off into space. But nonetheless,
I'm trying to pay attention to the game.
Yeah, that's a good color analyst should.
Sometimes it's the shoes. I love basketball shoes, so sometimes I focus too much on the shoes.
If you don't catch us tomorrow, how about Sunday night? While you're driving around, I'll be on with Ryan Hollins for NBA Insiders. That'll be right here on ESPN 1000, about 5:30 to 9 on Sunday night.
I'll be tuning into that, and then Sunday in the morning, I'll be with Abdallah from 8 to 10 in the morning, as always, on Sunday mornings. So,
our thanks to Andre Snellings and Ray Flores for being with us. Sean Davis on the other side of the glass. For Chris, I'm Jonathan. Thanks so much for listening to Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Download that ESPN Chicago app. That way you can catch up on all the great interviews and content we had this week for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood.
This is Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.